Okay, we're starting here on the top of Lamed Vav Lamed Aleph, have 4 lines down. Gemara is continuing to discuss the machloka between Rav and Levi. Rav, who says, Mayan Echad, that there's only one source for the damim in the woman, and the Torah, through Gzerat HaKatuv, makes it Tamei or makes it Tahor. On the other hand, Levi believes that there are Shtei Mayanot, two sources for the damim, and one that provides damim that are Tahorim, and one that provides damim that are Tmeim. Tashma, Yemei Ibura, Odim la limei minikuta, vimei minikuta, odim la limei yibura. So this is a gemara that we saw earlier in the Masechta on Daf Yud, with regards to the fact that when we're talking about musuleket damim, a woman who no longer has the status of seeing blood, and therefore if she sees damim, dayashata, she doesn't have this retroactive tum'ah, because we don't expect her to see damim. So over there, it says that the yimei yibura, her pregnancy joins together with her nursing, and her nursing joins together with her pregnancy to get her the 3 onot, 3 cycles that she misses in order to be classified as misuleket damim. Ketzad. Hipsika shtayim bimei yibura, she didn't cite 2 cycles while she was pregnant. Vachat bimei minukuta, and 1 cycle while she was nursing. Shtayim bimei minukuta, 2 cycles while she was nursing. Vachat bimei ibura, and then 1 when she was pregnant. Chad v'mechsa b'mei yubura, v'chad v'mechsa b'mei minikuta, or 1.5 and 1.5, olim la the gimel onot. They equate to the gimel onot that you need. Now as far as minikuta into ibura, that's a lot simpler to understand. She was nursing, and then she became pregnant, so you could see how the two of those are juxtaposed, and how you could have it that they share the shlosh onot of misuleket damim. On the other hand, with regards to Yemei Ibura flowing into Yemei Minukuta, the problem is that you have a birth in between. So if you have a birth in between, how are you classified as Misuleket Damim? The Gemara back on Daf Yud had different options, including Leida Yiveshta, or, as Rashi quotes over here, what the Gemara said over there is that Demei Leida Levad and Demei Nida Levad. It's a separate type of damim. It's not the same damim. We're talking about here damim from a cycle, the menstrual damim. Over there you're talking about the damei leida. So the damei leida will not change the fact that she's classified as a misuleket damim if she has skipping of a note during her pregnancy and then skipping of a note into her nursing schedule. That's back from the Gemara on Daf Yud. What we're interested in over here is Bishlam or Rav. According to Rav Damar Mayana Chadu, Mishum Hachi Bai Hefsek Shloshonot. I understand why you need a hefsek of shlosh onot, because that's the only way we know that she is misuleket damim. Because if she doesn't have a hefsek shlosh onot, the damim is always flowing, and it's the same damim and the same mikor. Ela Levi damar shnei nemayanotein. According to Levi, who says the sources are different, lami le hefsek shlosh onot. Why do I need a cutoff of 3 onot, 3 cycles where she misses her sighting to say she's misuleket damim? B'mashu usagi should be sufficient just any amount of time, any stop in the flow should be enough because it's a different Mayan. If it's a different Mayan, whatever she saw before has no impact on what she's going to see now because they were different Mayanot. So the guy says, Achi Hamar, this is what it means. Tzricha shetifsok mashu. You need any amount of stopping, kedei she'alula l'shlosh onot, because it'll equate to shlosh onot, similar to the answer we gave yesterday for Levi, that she doesn't really need Shiva Nikiim, she just needs a hefsek mashu, which will equate to Shiva Nikiim. So over here the same is that she'll just need a hefsek mashu after her Yemei Leida. We'll know that Nista Matamei, already we're talking about a different Mayan. If we're talking about a different Mayan, we're not talking about Dam Tamei anymore. And so therefore she doesn't need shlosh onot. She needs just some sort of cessation of the flow. So Tashma, Vishavin, Broe Achar Dam Tahor, Shadaya Shata. Everybody agrees, this is from something that we saw earlier in the Masecht as well, that if she sees Dam after she passed over her days of Tohar, that means after a Nekeva, 80 days after she gave birth to the Nekeva, or 40 days after she gave birth to a Zachar, on the 81st day or the 41st day, if she has a sighting, then Daya Shata. We say that there is no retroactive tuma, because what she's seen until now, all the damim she's seen until now is dam tahor. So bishlola maybe, according to Levi, that makes a lot of sense. Damash in mayanotein. Shumachi dayashata. Because everything, even though she was citing all the way until day 80, or until day 40, those damim are not relevant to what we're seeing now. What she sees now, it's the first time in the new cycle of damim. So that makes a lot of sense. El Rab, Damar Mayan Echadu. According to Rab, who says it's all one source, Amai Dayashata. Why is it Dayashata? She's been seeing Damim all the way along. The Torah classified it as being Tahor, but it still was a sighting of Dam. So when she sees Dam now, it's not as if something magical happened, something new happened. It's the same Damim. It's just now the Torah classifies it as being Tamei. So why should it be Dayashata? She should have retroactive Tuma because she's not considered to be Mesulekat Damim. So Mar says, Daleke Shahut. There is no Meit Leit. She has a sighting on day 81 or day 41, less than 24 hours after her Damei Toar finish. So Mar says, V'titamei mi pekida lepekida. We know before, we saw in the beginning of the Masechta, that we take the lesser of 24 hours or the last check. What about maybe kida lepekida? And nobody wants to suggest over here that there is no not enough time mipkida b'kida, because that's a very, very short time. Kevan, d'me'eit leka mipkida mikida nami lo gazrubara bonon. Since it's a package deal. Package deal is that we only talk about retroactive tuma when there's a possibility of 24 hours or mipkida b'kida. There's no possibility of 24 hours. We're not in or under the rubric of such a gzerat chachamim. And that's why there is no me'et le'et or mi'pkida l'pkida, because we haven't entered into the world of the takanat chachamim with regards to this. Tashma, yoledet mizov, shesafra velo tavla vira'ata, halchu beit shema l'shitatam, ubeit hilel l'shitatam. A woman who gives birth, bizov, which means now not only does she have her days of tum'ah that she's going to have, she also needs shiva niki'im before she can be classified as having dam, tohor, or be classified as being muteret to her husband. So now she was safra, she counted her shiva niki'im, velo tavla, but she didn't go to the mikveh. So we saw this before, it's a bright that we quoted on yesterday's daf, that this is a machlok between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Even though Beit Shammai and our Mishnah agrees to Beit Hillel, that if she's yoledet bezov, and she doesn't go to the mikveh, her sighting, the blood she cites, is like dam nidan, it's mitameh lach v'yabesh. That's only in a case where she has yet to count her shiva nikiim. Once she's counted her shiva nikiim, then Beit Shammai goes back to Shitatan, and says that if you're just missing mikveh, then it's only mitameh lach, and not mitameh lach v'yabesh. Beit Hillel l'shitatam, who says that you need mikveh. You need not only yamim, but you also need mikveh. And if you don't go to the mikveh, Beit Hillel says, she is tmeyah dam nida, and it's lach v'yavish. So when it says, bishlam ol rav damar mayan echadu, according to Rav, where it's one mayan, mishum ochi mitameh lach v'yavish. According to Beit Hillel, I understand why it's mitameh lach v'yavish, because it's the same damim all the way along. Nothing's changed over here. She was yoledet bezov, and therefore she remains in her tumah until she goes to the mikveh. Until she goes to the mikveh, there's nothing to talk about. It's lach v'yavesh. Elu Levi, damar shnei mayanotein. According to Levi, we're talking about two different mayanot. I have a problem here. She started out as a yoledet bezov, and then she has dam tmei av v'leida, but then all of a sudden it stops. And the blood that she's seeing now, after the 2 weeks of tumah for nekeva, or 1 week for zachar, the damim that she's seeing now is dam tohar from somewhere else. So why is it that Beit Hillel would suggest that damim is mitameh lach v'yavesh, that it has a din of tumat nida? Doesn't make any sense. It's coming from a totally different place. It's different damim. Amai mitameh lach v'yavesh. So Amar Chalevi, ano de amre kitana de shavin. I hold like the Tana who says that shavin, the Tana that we just saw before, the bright that we just quoted before, which is v'shavin b'ro'a achar dam toar shadaya shata. I hold like that Tana. Remember, that was worked well according to Levi. He says, so I hold like that bright, that's my shito. But that Tana would not agree to what is being stated over here. V'by dema. And another answer, possibilities to explain this is b'shofat. It's a case where she has a continuous flow from within the days of Tumah into the days of Tara. We saw before, according to Levi, if there's a continuous flow, there's no cessation of the flow, you can't claim that there's a new Mayan here. You can't claim a new Mayan until there's a stop. So if she flows straight through from the days of Tumah to the days of Tara, then it could be that the Damim are still Damim of Nidan, La Tameh, Lach V'Yavesh. Where it says, V'Hasafra K'tani? Wait a minute, a little problem with that is that the Braita says that she counted Shiva Nikiim. If she counted Shiva Nikiim, that means that she didn't see Damim. There was a cessation of Damim. So, Hacha, Violetet, Nikeva, Bizov, Askinen. The only case here where she gave birth to a female, Bizov, Deshavua, Kama, Pascha. For the first week after the birth, she sees no damim. Shavua Batra, the second week after she gives birth, Lo Paska, she sees a flow of blood that continues all the way into her days of Tahara. So what happened here? Something that we have not seen until now. Until now, the Gemara, Pashtuta Gemara has been, you cannot count the Shivanikim during Yemei Tumah. You can only count your Shivanikim during Yemei Tahara. And has to be some sort of cessation of Damim. Over here, because Savar Yemei Leidata She'enu Ra'aba Olim La L'Sfirat Zivata. This is the Chiddush that is being brought here by Levi, that there's a possibility that during Yemei Tumah, if she does not have a sighting of Damim, that could count towards her Shivanikim. It's something we haven't seen until now. Until now, we've always assumed that the Shiva Nikim have to come after the Yemei Tumah, whether that's 14 days for a Nekeva or 7 days for a Zachar. Only then could one begin to count the Shiva Nikim. Here, Levi suggests that you could count the Shiva Nikim within the Yemei Tumah, as long as you have no sighting of Damim. So he says, the case in this Breita is a case where she's Yoledet Bezov. She has 7 days after the Leida where she doesn't see Damim. So now she got rid of her issue of Ziva, but she's still in her Yemei Tumah. Then she starts to have a sighting of Damim. That sighting of Damim is Dmei Tuma'ah because it's still within the 14 days of a Nekeva. And then that flow continues straight through into her Yemei Tahara. And because it continues straight into her Yemei Tahara, that's why Beit Hillel says it's Mintamei Lach V'Yavesh, because she never had a cessation of the Mayan Tamei. But she is Tahor in the sense of the Shiva Nekiyim that she had, she took care of. That's done. So that's the way Levi will explain this. Now, what's interesting about this is, that means that she counts Shiva Nikim, does not go to the mikveh, and then has sightings of Damim. And we don't say that that is Oker the Shiva Nikim. Only within the framework of the Shiva Nikim, if she has a sighting of Damim, will be Oker the Shiva Nikim. But if she finishes the Shiva Nikim, and only afterwards has a sighting of Damim, we're not going to say that that's Oker the Shiva Nikim. Because over here, she did the Shiva Nikim in the beginning, right after Leida, and then afterwards she starts to see Damim. She can't go to the mikveh, she can't be Teorah, because she's still in her Yemei Tumah. So going to the mikveh for the Shiva Nikim is not going to help now. It's only going to help after she clears the 2 weeks of Tumah. Yet, all of a sudden she has a sighting of Damim. And we don't say that that's Oker, the Shiva Nikim. So Tosafot discusses that over here. If you look in Tosafot, Shua Batra Lo Paska, it's very interesting. It says, Mikan Omer Rabbeinu Tam. To Yoled Bezov, O Bezman Azeh. Today, Allah Lamaisa, Zman Azeh, to Kulun Hashim Chashvinu Ki Yoldot Bezov, that we consider everyone to be Yoled Bezov, Shu Sofrim Achar Yemei Tum'at Leida, Shiva Nikim. That they count. After the Yemei Tum'at Leida, we count Shiva Nikim. Virata Bimei Tawar, Kodim Tvila. But then she sees during her Yemei Tawar, she gets her Shiva Nikim, and then she has another sighting of Damim during her Yemei Tawar before she ends up in the mikveh. Eino soteret. That does not undermine her Shiva Nikim. Damar hoche. Dechi rata shvua shlishi. Delo satra. That over here it says if she sees Damim on the third week, it's not soteret. Avagav de dam tamehu. Over there we're talking about dam tameh because it's a case where it's either flowing straight through. So certainly Dam Tovar will not undermine Shiva Nikim. Right, so Tosafot here moves on and says, wait, does that have application even outside of the world of Leida? Maybe this should be Alocha in general. So you skip down two more lines in the Tosafot, he says, the Ikal Meimar, the Hocha Dafka Losatra, Mishum Deria Zu Eno Goremet La Tuma. Over here, the reason that it doesn't undermine the Shiva Nikim is because it doesn't create any Tumah. She would be Tmeah for those 2 weeks, whether or not she saw any Damim. She's Tmeah, period. So the Damim that she sees now has no impact on her because she's already Tmeah. So since the Damim has no impact, therefore it's not Okeret the Shiva Nikim. Ve'afagav d'b'shvua gimel, in the third week, Goreim la Tumah. Doesn't make her into a nida or a zava. It just prevents her from clearing her days of tumah. And as soon as she stops seeing the dam, Torah miyad. She's Torah miyad because she's in her mei tawar of damim. So now he says it. Even outside the world of leida, for a woman it will not be okeret demistavra dein stira moelet ela betocha cheshbon. That's what it says, that shiva nikiim can only be ruined if you haven't completed the Shiva Nikim. Once you've counted the Shiva Nikim, a sighting of a Damim at that point will not be Oker than the Shiva Nikim. But then in the last two lines of Tosafot, he says, but, and the big but is, Mi Odli Didan. According to us, that our women, on any sighting of them, dam, sit shivinikim. That means that even if you clear the shivinikim and then you have a sighting of damim, now you will have to sit another shivinikim. It's not going to help you anyway. So even though, yeah, your first shivinikim counted, but you're starting, you have a reset button, now you got to wait another shivinikim, so it's not going to help you. Even if she went to the mikvah and saw it, she needs another shivinikim. So Tosfot says it does have impact. For us, where the sighting of damim has impact, that you'll have to wait another shivinikim, that means that any sighting will be okay, or the shivinikim that you count. But very interesting Tosfot in terms of the ability to have shivinikim live in its own world. That you can have the shivinikim and then have a sighting of damim, and that won't change the fact that you already had shivinikim. Now we have the Psak Halacha. Amar le Ravina le Ravashi. Amar lan Rav Shemen Misachra. Iklo mar Zutra le Atrin. Mar Zutra came to our city. V'darash hilchata kavate de Rav le Chumra. Halacha is like Rav, but le Chumra. V'hilchata kavate de Levi. And Halacha is also like Levi, but le Chumra. So we're going to do Shnehem le Chumra. Which if you remember back from yesterday's, that means that when you're going from the Yemei Tuman to the Yemei Tara, so according to Rav, there was a kula there, that even though she flows straight through from day 14 into 15, or day 7 into day 8, it was still Dam Toar. But we're going to be Machmir for Levi there and say that it's Tamei, because it's Shnei Mayonot. On day 40 and day 80, if it flows from 40 into 41, or 80 into 81, over there Rav said that it's Dam Tamei, because he crossed over the line. Levi said it was Dam Tahor, because he didn't switch Mayonot. Over there we're going to go to Chumra, the Tzad of Rav. Tosafot asks, don't we have a principle that you can't take two chumrot, ha-sotrot, ha-hadodi? To subscribe to Levi the Chumrah and to subscribe to Rav the Chumrah is a stira in and of itself. You're subscribing deot that are soter, chadet ha-sheni. They don't work together. They are opposites, and you can't do that. The Tosafot says here, no, because over here, the safek is in the psak. It's not like you're trying to be machmir for the two tzadim. We're not sure if the halacha is like Rav, we're not sure if the halacha is like Levi. Therefore, we're choshesh for both shitot. It's not that we're trying to take the chumrot of both of them, we're trying to figure out what the psak is and we don't know. So the Tosafot differentiates in that a person who takes two chumrot that are soter, that hadadi, is a fool. That's only a case where the person, we know the psak, and then he wants to be machmir. Over here, we don't know the psak, so we machmir, because we don't know which way to go. And that's different. So then we have Rav Ashi Amar, Hilchatok Arveate, the Rav ben Lukula ben Lukumra. That the halacha is like Rav, whether it's Lukula Lukumra, Darish Merimar, Hilchatok Arveate, the Rav ben Lukula ben Lukumra. Merimar said the same thing, and now the Gemara concludes, the Hilchatok Arveate, the Rav ben Lukula ben Lukumra. That the halacha is like Rav, whether it's Lukula, whether it's Lukumra, that means when you're flowing from day 14 into 15, or day 7 into day 8, the dam will be tahor, because you moved over the days, and the opposite will be true if you move from 40 to 41, or 80 to 81, if you have a flow that continues straight through, over there, the dam will be tamei, as soon as you cross over the line into day 81 and day 41. Amikasha, a woman is having difficulty in labor, and seeing damim, nida. Alright, this is a very cryptic, ambiguous statement in the Mishnah, the Amoraim will argue about what it means. Kishita shlosha yamim b'toch yud alef yom. She has labor pangs within her 11 days of ziva. So then she would otherwise, if she wasn't giving birth, she would be a zava gedola now, because she sees 3 days in a row she's seeing damim. That would make her into a zava gedola. But then b'shafita me'eit le'eit. She has quiet for 24 hours. Then we say here shafita for 24 hours doesn't mean she stopped seeing damim. It just means that she stopped having labor pangs. She stopped having contractions or pain for 24 hours. She can continue to see damim during that period of time. V'alda, and then gives birth. Harizu, you'll let it bizov. That's considered to be a leida bizov. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, 24 hours of cessation of the pain or pangs of labor is enough to separate between the din of zava and the din of leida. V'yishu omer, laila v'yom, kalele shabbat v'yomo. That she had a cessation of the labor pangs, but not cessation of the flow of damim. Bishua doesn't necessarily disagree. It just says that the period of time that's 24 hours has to be a night and then a day. So it could be more than 24 hours because it just have to be a sequential day that the cessation takes place. It has to be a full night and then a full day afterwards in order to be considered a separation between the zavah gdola and the birth. Kamihi kishuya. So here, the Mishnah is asking a question, which the Mishnah takes for granted in the first half, which is, that if in the process of giving birth, she sees damim, we're not going to call that a zava. It's not going to be a sighting of ziva in that case, because we're going to associate it with the leida. So the Gemara has a limud for later on, we'll see that. But because of that, the Gemara says that as long as the birth pains continue all the way into the birth, then we associate all damim that she saw beforehand with the birth, and not with the problem of being a zava. How much time can you say that? How long before the birth, if she has continuous pain into the birth pangs, into the birth, and there's no cessation for 24 hours or for a night and a day, according to Rabbi Yoshua, how many months beforehand can you consider all the damim she sees to be a part of the birth? So it's kami kishua, Rabbi Meir Omer, afilu arbeim v'chamishim yom. Even 40, 50 days beforehand, as long as it's continuous straight into the birth, that is all part of the birth process. B'yudomer dayach chodsha, the ninth month, that's enough. And more than that, that's not considered part of the birth. 2 weeks maximum has to do with the leida. If you're having damim before that, it's not related to the leida. Even though you have a birth pang straight through, that's not going to be classified as being dam leida. So now Gemara goes back to that first line in the Mishnah, which is a mikasha nida. It says, atu kol a mikasha nidahi. Anybody who's having difficulty in giving birth, automatically she's a nida. What does that mean? Now we have an explanation by the Amorim. Amarav, nida liyoma. If she sees dam, and it's in the time period when she would have otherwise been in zava, while she's going into her birth pangs, she's a nida liyoma. She's a nida for that day. Meaning that day itself where she sights the damim, she is a suer. By the night time already, she is muteret lebala. Shmuel Amar, Kashinan Shema Dishafa. We're worried about that she will have a cessation of the birth pangs, and then retroactively, this will be a sighting. So Rav says she's needed the Yoma just for the time period that she's there. Then as soon as she clears that day, we consider it to be fine and she's muteret the Baala. But over here, Shmuel says, wait a minute, what happens if she has some sort of cessation before she gives birth? And that's going to cause this sighting beforehand to be problematic. It's nothing. Anything she cites then has no bearing whatsoever, not even during that day. Vaktani, doesn't the Mishnah say amikasha nida? It's a little difficult to explain it that way. The Mishnah says that if she has difficulty, it has some impact. It's called a nida. Marova, bimei nida nida, bimei zivate ora. Rava draws a distinction. If it's in the days when she would have been a nida, then the damim that she cites does make her into a nida. On the other hand, bimei ziva, it's in the 11 days after the time period when she would have been a nida, citing then she would become a zavak tanah or zavak dola. There she is to'orah the gamre. And again, we will see these limudim in the Gemara. Vatanyo. Don't we have a bright time? Mikasha bimei nida. She's having difficulty, labor pangs, and sightings of blood during her period of time. She's a nida. Nida. Bimei ziva, and in her mei ziva Torah. So that is, v'tanya b'nichuta, that's a proof to Rava's position. Ketzad, what's the case here? Kishita yom echad, v'shafta shnayim. She had labor pangs for one day, and then a cessation for 2 days. Oh, she kishita shnayim, or she has difficulty for 2 days, v'shafta yom echad. Then she has 1 day where she doesn't have the birth pangs. Oh, she shafata, she had no birth pangs 1 day. Kishita, then had difficulty, v'chazra v'shafata, and then she was quiet again. All the while, she's having sighting all 3 days. In all these instances, she's having sighting of damim through the 3 days. The only question is whether she's having birth pangs or not. Her zoo, you'll let it dissolve. In all these cases, you'll let it dissolve because there was a 24-hour period that was juxtaposed to her birth, that was right before her giving birth, and therefore she's considered to be yoledet zov, because we have a separation between the sighting with the birth pangs and the birth itself. Aval, the case is, shafata yom echad, she had 1 day that was quiet. First day when she was sighting blood, it was quiet. Kishata shnayim, and then she has 2 days of labor pangs. Oh, she shafata shnayim, or the first 2 days of sighting, she has no pains. Vikishata yom echad, and the third day, she has pangs. Oh, she kishita, v'shafata, v'chazra, v'kishita. She has birth pangs, then quiets down for a day, and then birth pangs again. Ain zu, you'll let it dissolve. This is not considered to be you'll let it dissolve, because over here you have, adjacent to the birth pangs, which shows us that it's not ziva. The third day when she would have been a zava, there she has birth pangs, because she has birth pangs and leads straight into the leida. That's considered to be part of the leida, not part of ziva. Right, even though the first 2 days were quiet, yeah, the third day, once she has the birth pangs, they become connected to the leida. Kolo shel davar. Here is the general principle that comes out of this. Koshi samuch leida in zu yoledet bezov. As long as there are birth pangs adjacent or juxtaposed to the birth itself, there is no leida bezov. shofi samach leida, if you have some sort of quiet before the storm, going into leida, so you let it bezov. That's considered you let it bezov. Hananiah ben Achi Rabbi Yoshua. Hananiah, the nephew of Rabbi Yoshua. Mer kol shechal kishuya b'shlishi shela. If she has any pangs on the third day, afilu kol yom kulo b'shofi, even the entire day is b'shofi, ain zu yoledet b'zov. Here there is no yoledet b'zov. This is like shitat Rabbi Yoshua, that you need laila v'yom in order to be considered a cessation. So therefore, any time in that third day, she has a birth pang. And then she might have 24 hours where she has no birth pang and then give birth. That doesn't help, because during that third day, she had a birth pang. And that eliminates the possibility of having Laila Viyom. Kolo Shadavar Latuye Mai. The general principle that's brought at the end of the Breita, what does that come to include? Latuye to Hananyo. It comes to include what Hananya said. It comes to include what Hananya described to us over here. Alpi Shita to Rabbi Yoshua. So Mara wants to know now, Minahane Mile. Where do we know all this from? Where do we know that damim that are cited in conjunction with the birth are not considered to be dam ziva or possibly dam nida, yet they are considered to be dam leida? So Tarabanan dama says in the pasuk dama, dama machmat atzma velo machmat avlad. It says in the pasuk by zava gdola, Rashi says v'isha ki yazuv zov dama. That dama we're darshing to mean dama machmat atzma, as be blood that is generated from her self internally, meaning from her cycling, but not dama machmat avlad, but not blood that's generated because of the birth of the child. Ataomer machmat vlad, oine ela machmat onus. Maybe the possibility is that we can learn like we do by zav. By zav we say that it has to be bibsaro, that it has to come from him and not to be pnei onus, that it doesn't come from some other exogenous variable. So say the same thing here by nida. That's mean that something that comes from her, and not something that's caused by some other variable. Shomer, because the pasuk says v'isha ki yazov zov dama, and really here the dama is not important, but ki yazov zov. Ki yazov zov says areyone samor. It says that no matter what, ki yazov zov says any type of flow is considered to be tame. So ma ani mikayim dama. So now what am I going to do with the word dama? Dama machmat atzma vevo machmat vlad. So Gemara says umara ita l'taheret avlad l'tame bonus. Why is it that you want to be mitaher, the dam that comes with the blood, and you want to be mitamei, that blood that comes out to be onus? Because you could have done the opposite, meaning that we have a riboy, which is ki yazuv zov, and we have a miut of dama. So you could have picked one of the two items to include, and one of the two items to exclude. The question is which? So the Gemara said, oh yeah, the vlad we're going to say is not included, and we're going to say that onus is included. Why not do just the opposite? So the Gemara says, "Mitaher ani b'vlad sheish tara acharav." I'm mitaher by the vlad because she will have sighting of damim afterwards, where she'll have yamei tohar, and that dam will be tohor. So we find within the world of vlad or damei leida, we find tara. Umitame ani b'onis she ain't tara acharav. By onis, there is no tara. Onis has no impact in terms of her sightings. Adarava. What do you mean? By zav, I have a principle that there, if he has a sighting bonus, it does not consider or classify as a sighting. So I do have in this world of ziva, I do have the fact that it is tohor. The verse says, what do you mean? We're here in the parsha of the woman. We're not talking about a zav, we're talking about a zava. Bonus b'isha lo ashkachan, and we don't find such a concept by the woman. So the other possibility is, my datech. The ta'urei bonus, you want to make ta'ur bonus, ultumei bevlad, in the cha'onis gadol mizeh. A vlad is no bigger onus than that, so how could you suggest that onus would be ta'ur? And here you have an exogenous variable, which is the vlad, which is bringing the dam, and now you're going to say that that's tamei? Iochi. So now the Gemara says, nida nami. We understand the drusha by zava gdola, which I quote the pasuk of Aishaki Azub Zov Dama. So there we have a miut to tell you that if you have ziva that's associated with leida, that that's not considered to be dam ziva. Where it says, why don't you do the same thing by a nida? Why are you only saying this by a zava? Neima zova, zova machmat atzma v'do machmat vlad. The pasuk says, isha ki tiye zava, dam ye zova. So why don't we make the same drasha? Zova machmat atzma v'do machmat vlad. That it's only ziva or zova, flow that comes because of her, not because of some other variable. So atalmer vlad oin el onis. Again, we'll go back to how do you know that you're excluding a vlad? Maybe you should exclude onis. Kshomer Again, that's a reboy to say no matter what the flow is, you're going to be tmeya. Yishaki tia zava reyon is amur. Haman mikayim zova, zova machmat atzma, velo machmat vlad. Over here, the Gemara doesn't do the same operation again where you could say, why don't you do it the other way around? Because the Gemara already addressed that with zava, why it makes more sense to say that the vlad is tohor and the onus is Tameh. So what Yotzei Mizeh now is that we should have the same din by Nidah as we have by Zavah. We have the same limudim, the same type of setup than Tzukim, so why not say the same thing? So Amar Yesh Lakish, Amar Kra, Teshev. Yesh Lecha Yeshiva Acheret Shehi Kezu. So it says by the birth of him that she has to Teshev. Yesh Lecha Yeshiva Acheret Shehi Kezu. There's another sitting that's going to be like this. Vezuzuzu Koshi Bimei Ziba. That's a kochi b'mei ziba, because we have now a teshev, and that teshev comes to teach us that just like the teshev, the dam tohar, by the isha who gives birth, when you say teshev l'dmei tahara, that you'll have those days when the dam is tohar, that teshev comes to teach you that there's another time where it'll be considered like dam tohar, and what's that? That you'll let it b'ziba. So Mar says, v'emazu kochi b'mei nida. How do you know that's talking about ziba? It could be just as equally talking about nida. El Amar Avua de Shmuel. This is very interesting. Shmuel's father. Shmuel was a first generation Amora. Avua de Shmuel is in the bridge between the Tanaim and the Amoraim. He sits in that bridge between them. So Avua de Shmuel, Amar Kra. V'tam'a shvu'ayim kenidata v'lo kezivata. It says that she is tmeya for 2 weeks after she gives birth to a nekeva. Kenidata. Just like a nida. V'lo kezivata. Not like her zivata. Michlal. That she doesn't have a problem of ziva. So he says that the way it's described there, that after birth, she has a din of dam tamei, like that of a nida, that's exactly what it says. It's just like a nida, not like a ziva. If you thought that a ziva that was in succession with the leida, then you should have said that she's also shvuayim ke zivata. The fact that it only says shvuayim ke nidata means that only nida is a problem, but not ziva. V'hashto dichtiv. Now we have the limit of v'tamash v'ayim kenidata dama lomali. Now what do we do with this limit of dama? Dama mi'atzma milo machmat avlad. That was the drasha we had before. We don't need that anymore. So now what are you going to do with that drasha? I lab dama. Had I not had the word dama, havamina kenidata v'lo kevizivata, I would have thought that it's like her nidana zividava filu b'shofi. That even if she had some sort of cessation of the birth pangs, that will also be considered to be tahor. Kamash malon, that's not the case. That's be dama machmat atzma, velo machmat avlad. So that means it all has to be machmat avlad. What's the test for machmat avlad? Whether she had the birth pangs or didn't have the birth pangs all the way into the period of time that she gave birth. So that's an interesting story. Shila baravina, ava uvda kavate derav. He paskind like rav. So before we saw that Rav says, if she has a sighting in her period of Nida, Mikasha, and she has a sighting, then she is Nida liyoma. She's a Nida for that day itself, and then at that night, already she is considered to be Tahor. So Shila bar Rav, Avar Uvda Kavadid Rav. Kikaranach Nafshe the Rav, when Rav was on his deathbed, Amarle Rav Asi, his Talmud Rav Asi, Zil, San A, go quiet him down, Vilo Tzayit, go tell him that I reverse my position, that I don't think I'm right, that she is Tahor the Gamre, that there is no din whatsoever of Nidaliyoma, and therefore I want you to go tell him to go back. And if he doesn't listen to you, Garyeh. Garyeh means to drag him along, to pull him in, try to convince him to do such. Husavar dia gadye amarle. He thought he meant gadye. Now gadye can mean cut him off, put him into shamta, excommunicate him. So he misheard the Garyeh and thought it was Gadiyeh. Now, Tosafot does not like that this is the Girs of Rashi. There was a confusion between the Reish and the Dalit. Tosafot says that they're both Dalits. And it says, Ilotzayit Gadiyeh. And then he thought he said Gadiyeh. Well, what's the difference between them? Well, the word gold can have two meanings. Gold can mean to cut off and to slice off, meaning Shamta. But gold can also mean convince him. How do you know the difference? Tosafot says it depends if there's a dagesh in the dalet or not. He says, gdiyah b'dalet rafa. If you have a gdiyah with a dalet that doesn't have a dagesh in it, then it means mashcheu b'divrei tam, which is negodu. But on the other hand, gdiyah with a dagesh in it his golu to cut down. It doesn't say that makes more sense, that he got confused between a dal with the dagesh, and a dal without a dagesh, than between a dal and a resh. Either way, Rav Asi thought he heard something else. Vater de nachna shed Rav. So after Rav passes away, Amalei hodor b'chol. Rav Asi goes and tells Shila Baravina to retract his position. To hadabe Rav, because Rav retracted his position. Amalei, imita dadabe lididei avi amarli. He says, what it told me, I'm a Talmud of his. Rav Asi is a Talmud, but so is Shila Baravina. They both meet him to Rav, and he says, if Rav reversed his position, he would have told me that. Lotzayit. He didn't listen to him. Gajay. He put him into excommunication chamta. Amrlei, velo mistafi, marmi delekta. Shila Baravina. He says to Rav Asi, aren't you afraid of the fire? He says, Amrlei, ano isi ben Yehuda, do isi ben Gur Aryeh, do isi ben Gamliel, do isi ben Mehalel. Asita de nechosha, de lo shali bei rikva. This is not his name. It's actually a Gemara in Psachim about isi ben Yehuda, that he has multiple names, many names, and he's known by all these different names. So over here, he's just making a play on the words. He's saying that, listen, I'm Rav Asi, and Asi sounds like Isi, and Isi ben Yehuda, these Tanaim, these big people, I have their name, and I have the power of them behind me, and I am like a mortar made out of copper, brass, the low shalipe rikva doesn't rust. So I'm like, Ana Shila Baravina. He says, back, I'm Shila Baravina. Buchna de Parzala, the pestle of iron. Dimitvar asita de nechosha, that breaks the mortar made out of copper or made out of brass. So he gets back and says, I'm not afraid of you. Chalash Ravashi. Ravashi became ill over this. The fact that Shila Baravina was not willing to accept it. Ailua bichamime of kua mikrire. They put hot compresses on him to remove the cold. Ailua bichamime, and then they had to put him in cold compresses of kua mikrire to take away the fever. He was going back and forth. Nachnav shed of Ravasi. Ravasi passes away from this issue. Also, Shila Amar Lidbitu. Shila Baravina goes to his wife and says, Savit li zabadta. Get my tachrichim ready. Because the Lord lays zel, the lame lay the rab, me lay, ilui. I don't want him to get there first and get a word in with Rab to say that I didn't listen to him. I gotta be there with him so that I can stand in front of Rab together. Zavita lay zavata. They prepared his tachrichim, nach namshay. The Shila. He passes away right then. Chazu de parcha asa mehai puria lahai puria. It was their minhug in their day. They used to put myrtle, hadassim, on the deathbeds, probably partly because of the issues of smell. In their days, because they didn't have refrigeration, they weren't able to preserve the bodies. They used to put hadassim on top of the bed of the mates. And they saw that this hadass that was there was poreach. It started to grow. And it was going, or grew, I don't know if it jumped between bed and bed, or it grew from one bed to the other bed, as if to show, Shmamino, Amrei Shmamino, Abdu Rabbanan Paiso, that they resolved their issues up in Shamayim, and everybody is happy now. Okay, we'll stop over here.